Would you agree with me that we live in an educated society? I would say that 90% of the women in this room have completed high school. I think that more than 50% of the women in this room have a college degree. And I would venture to say that 10%, possibly, in this room have more than one degree, a couple of bachelor's, a master's, and a doctorate. Yet this society is filled with educated people like you and me, who continue to make choices that cause all kinds of heartaches. Why is that? Well, I have a college degree, and as a student, I was an academic achiever. So I had lots of head knowledge from books. But my mom said to me in high school that I just didn't have any common sense, that I'd let my emotions rule my head. And she was right. At 19, I discovered God's word, His knowledge, and have been on an adventure ever since to learn from Him and apply what I learn in my life. If my heart is going to rule my head, at least I want to have a wise heart. Well, our study of Proverbs is all about hearts, the difference between a heart of wisdom and the heart of a fool. Wisdom is not just for those who are smart in the head. You can have a wise heart if you never completed high school, and you can have a foolish heart if you have a PhD. The difference is in the choices that you make in applying what you know to be true. Are you going to choose God's way of doing things, or are you going to choose your own? And that is just as true today as it was 3,000 years ago when the book of Proverbs was written. Who authored most of the book of Proverbs? Solomon, right. Either he wrote it himself, or scribes that were in his court recorded the things that he said during the time that he was king. Now, he lived about 950 years before Jesus came. His father was King David, who wrote so many of the Psalms that we have in our Bible, and he was called a man after God's heart. Solomon became king when he was about 20 years old. God came to him in a vision and offered to give Solomon anything he asked for. What did he request? Do you remember? A discerning heart to govern the people and to distinguish between right and wrong. Solomon recognized he needed help to do his job and to do it well, and that is humility. God was pleased to answer that request because first he wants us to have a faith relationship with him, and next he wants us to seek to learn from him. That's the beginning of wisdom. Solomon became famous and very rich. He spoke 3,000 proverbs and wrote 1,000 songs, and we have three books in the Bible that are authored by him. Song of Solomon, probably written when he was a young man. Ecclesiastes, probably written when he was an old man. And then the book of Proverbs, which pretty much covers his entire life. Solomon's wisdom led him to desire more information about God's wonderful creation. So he educated himself about life, about human life, about plant life, and about animal life. There is nothing wrong with being educated women. I believe that God wants us to be as knowledgeable about the world that He designed as we possibly can be. I believe that it gave God great pleasure to see Solomon research his creation and share that information with others. But God wants us to be educated women who know Him and follow His ways first of all. Solomon didn't do that. He chose to marry a lot of foreign women, and then he set up altars for their gods, and he ended up worshiping those gods as well. Solomon got caught up in what he could do with his wisdom and his riches and his fame, and he forgot God, both in his head and in his heart. Wisdom begins with the heart. That's why Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Now, the heart in biblical language is the center of the human spirit, from which spring emotions and thought, motivations, courage, and action. And that's why it's called the wellspring of life. Being wise is a choice and quality of the heart, not just education of the mind. Now, what happens to smart people who think they know a lot? If we think we're smart, we tend to rely on ourselves, our know-how, and our tactics to solve life's problems. And I struggle with this still. I don't always go to God with a sense of inadequacy, seeking to learn from him. Several years ago, I was in a class studying 1 Corinthians, and the beginning of chapter 8 just struck me. And it says, we know that we all possess knowledge. And the kind of knowledge that Paul was referring to there was the Greeks and their desire to get all kinds of information, and they prided themselves on what they knew. Paul goes on to say, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know. Where our oldest daughter at that time, Jennifer, was working on her graduate degree at Baylor, and she would tell me about those in the academic world and how they think they are so much smarter than everyone else because they know so much information and have such prestigious degrees. They have hearts full of self-sufficiency and pride, expecting the world to bow down and worship their knowledge, as in this picture. This was a posed picture when our daughter got her PhD, but it represents the idea. On the back of your handout is a quote that really applies to this. It's from a guy who wrote a commentary on 1 Corinthians. This is what he says. Knowledge is proud that it has learned so much. Wisdom is humble that it knows no more. It's not smarts that makes us wise. It's our hearts. It's your choices and my choices of what to do with what we know. And God's desire for us as women is that we have wise hearts. There are lots of references to women in the book of Proverbs. When I started reading it this summer, I noticed that the book starts with a whole section that has reference to the feminine, and it ends with a passage, very famous passage, that deals with the feminine. So I decided I was going to read the whole book, and I was going to color code anything that dealt with females. And I used a purple marker and a color pencil and colored everything that had to do with the women or feminine. I got 4 full pages of verses. So there's lots of information about women in the book of Proverbs. In the first 9 chapters, wisdom is personified as a woman. Now, obviously a good woman. We can call her Lady Wisdom. But let's look at the other women in Proverbs. The first one is the foolish woman. Let's look at what kind of heart she has. I want you to turn with me to Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9, beginning in verse 13. The woman folly is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. This woman's heart is undisciplined. It says loud. One translation says boisterous. You get the idea that it's ruled by her emotions. She acknowledges nothing of truth. It says she knows nothing. And that word means she acknowledges nothing of truth. So even if she knew it, she's not giving any credence to it. Self-centered. Notice she wants prominence. She puts herself in the center of attention. She offers excitement, but delivers danger. Turn to 11:22. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. Well, this woman is obviously mismatched. Beauty is only skin deep here, and her beauty is wasted because she's obviously empty, lacking discretion. Turn to 14:1. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. Now, that word hands can mean strength, her power, her ability. Her heart is willfully destructive. I mean, if you're tearing something down, that's definitely willful. And she's taking no thought for consequences. The last one is chapter 30, verse 15. I love this one. The leech has 2 daughters. Give, give, they cry. I think that is so funny. Obviously, these 2 women represented here have self-serving hearts. They suck the life out of those around them. They take from others. I have lots of examples from my life where I have done foolish things. I'm a sucker for a cheap deal. My kids say that I like to do dumpster shopping. They used to hide behind the back seat whenever I would peruse somebody's trash. so that they wouldn't be seen. 20 years ago, we moved into a new house, and my husband was in the ministry. We never had any money to do much of anything, and I wanted to landscape around the house. Couldn't afford landscape timbers, but there was an old rickety road outside my neighborhood where people had been dumping trash for years. One day I walked down there and I saw landscape timbers. So I decided the next time my husband went out of town that I would take our van and drive down there and get those landscape timbers. Notice I said when he was out of town. So I did. I piled Heather, who was 3 or 4, in the van, and we drove down that road. I had not noticed that there were huge pieces of glass on the road. It wasn't long before I heard a pop and the tire was slashed. I had a flat tire. Husband out of town. I had to go and find a neighbor to come and change the tire. I forgot about the landscape timbers, got back to the house, and we had to get a new tire. The cost of the tire was 10 times what I would have paid on buying 2 new landscape timbers or whatever. It was ridiculous. Foolish, foolish, foolish. Proverbs 14:15 would be good to know for this. A simple woman believes anything. That is, she could do anything. But a prudent woman gives thought to her steps, or at least the pathway her car takes. You would think that I had learned my lesson, that, oh no. Just a month ago, Jennifer and I were shopping for furniture for her before she moved out to California. We took the seats out of the back of the van, and we were garage sale shopping all day long. And I followed these garage sale signs down this old gravel road that had huge potholes in it. Instead of turning around right away, no, we went to the garage sale. Well, the next morning, I woke up and the tire was flat. It had been slashed by a piece of metal, and Jennifer was depending upon me to take her again that day to look for furniture. We had to wait for several hours to go garage sale shopping until Ron could get the tire replaced. I am an educated woman who made straight A's in calculus, but I can't seem to learn this simple lesson. I have other examples. When the lottery began about a decade ago, I began imagining how winning the lottery would solve all of our money problems. Or, you know, Publishers Clearing House, all those things. You know, pay off all our debts. Then I would set up trust funds for the kids. And then I would support some missionaries fully so they would never have to raise support again. I had all these wonderful plans, God, of what I was going to do if I had all that money. But then 2 proverbs just jumped out at me. Proverbs 12:11. She who works her land will have abundant food, but she who chases fantasies lacks judgment. And that's what I was doing, chasing fantasies. But then the next one, better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. My husband likes privacy, and he guards our privacy, our safety, and our security greatly. Had I done something foolish, such as buy lottery tickets continually and won something, he would have lost the privacy that he guards for our family. It would have put him in turmoil, and therefore our family. Not a wise move to think about that, to chase fantasies like that. Then there was another one, just less than 10 years ago. Anyone knows that metal can get very hot when you heat it. It's not a very good idea to wrap hot metal in a paper towel and toss it in a trash can full of paper plates and napkins left over from lunch. You laugh. Which I did once while teaching chemistry lab in our old church kitchen. I got in a hurry to clean up and get out of lab. And, of course, it wasn't very long before smoke started coming up out of that trash can. We had to pull it outside. And then we tried every single one of the fire extinguishers in the kitchen and found that none of them worked. But God is gracious, because as a result of that, the fire department came and refurbished all of our fire extinguishers. And from then on, we had good fire extinguishers in our kitchen. But at such times as getting in a hurry and not taking the time to do things right, it's good to remember Proverbs 3:21-25. My daughter, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight or mind. Then you will have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. Better yet, Proverbs 28:26 says, she who trusts in herself is a fool, but she who walks in wisdom is kept safe. I need to be protected from me. There's lots more, but oh well, we're running out of time. I need to move on. I don't want to have the heart of a foolish woman. Well, the next one in the book of Proverbs is the contentious or the quarrelsome woman. What kind of heart does she have? Turn to Proverbs 19:13. A foolish son is his father's ruin, and a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping. Her heart is quarrelsome or contentious. It stirs up trouble. It's ill-tempered. That usually involves complaining, whining, nagging. I know none of you ever do that. And it's aggravating as a constant drip, 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 drip. You've got a drippy faucet. You know what I'm talking about. Turn to 21:9. It's better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Turn to 19. Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. This woman drives away her family. Homelessness is better than being around her. It is comical, and I think it was intended to be comical. Turn to 27, verse 15. A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with the hand. Her heart is impossible to restrain because it has determined to be contentious, like oil slipping through the fingers. You just can't get a hold on it. Unfortunately, I have examples from my life here as well. You know, those who use sarcasm think that it's witty, and so did I. But then when our oldest daughter, Jennifer, reached seventh grade and she got a little bit of a smart mouth, I found out that returning sarcasm to her completely cut off communication with us. And I decided that it was more important to continue communication with my daughter than to be witty. And from that day on, I resolved that I would eliminate sarcasm from my conversation so that I would not cut off communication with those that I loved. When John was in his senior year, he was 18. He's our son. I realized that he was trying to cut the apron strings with his mother, and he balked at anything that I asked him to do, basically. And so I was nagging him day after day after day. I wanted to choke him day after day after day. And it dawned on me that I was destroying a relationship with a son that I wanted to have after he got past this troublesome time. So I decided to stop nagging and just work with him in other ways, and hopefully he got over it, which he did. And he's very thankful that I stopped doing that. He tells me that today, that I preferred to have a relationship with him later on than to make sure he picked up the trash every day. Knowing these two proverbs helps me use my words wisely. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And it depends on what you mean by love it. If you like to use it in the way of nagging or sarcasm, you will definitely eat the fruit. If you love it by using positive words, you will eat that fruit as well. Proverbs 17:27, a woman of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a woman of understanding is even-tempered. Then there was my early tendency to be a perfectionist. A lot of achievers are perfectionists. I read all the books about marriage when we got married. And Ron and I had only been Christians for a year and a half, but I expected him to be like all the other men that I read about in those books who had been Christians for years and were wired differently. Perfectionists can be contentious. There was an article in the Dallas Morning News last May that really jumped out at me. This is what the author says. Perfectionists are people who not only hold unrealistically high standards, but also judge themselves or others as always falling short. The thing about perfectionists is that they don't ever experience satisfaction. Nothing is ever good enough. Then he goes on to say that there are three kinds of perfectionists. The first kind is the self-oriented. She expects perfection of herself. If you have this kind of perfectionism, that can lead to obsessive compulsion tendencies. It can also lead to eating disorders and other things. You may have experienced that in your family or someone that you know, that you care about. The second kind is the other-oriented. This is the Martha Stewart syndrome. She demands perfection from other people, sometimes from herself as well. But the key issue is demanding it from other people. Adults like this will have exceedingly high expectations of their children or extreme criticism of a spouse. You would expect low marital happiness and other relationship difficulties. Duh, of course. The third kind is socially prescribed. She thinks others expect perfection from her, whether they do or not. And this is the type that's more at risk for suicide. One researcher goes on to say that all three types tend to experience greater personal dissatisfaction despite their accomplishments. So perfectionists can be contentious women. Proverbs 14:1, which I think is the key verse for us as women in the book of Proverbs, says the wise woman builds her house, But with her own hands, our words and expectations, the foolish one tears hers down. I don't want to have the heart of a contentious woman. Next is the immoral woman. What kind of heart does she have? Let's just look at a couple of verses. Chapter 7. There's a long passage, but I'm going to start with verse 11 and just pick and choose. Verse 11 says, she is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. So her heart is defiant and it's restless. Skip to 15. She has a plan. I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money, and he will not be home till full moon. This heart is deliberate. It's scheming, and it's deserting her covenant partner. Skip down to 21. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. Persuasive for evil and seductive. Now turn to 30, chapter 30, verse 20. This is the way of an adulteress. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong. This heart is self-righteous and it willfully ignores personal responsibility. Now, a woman who's deliberately doing this kind of behavior may have spent years of gradually letting herself be drawn into this lifestyle. I don't want to have the heart of an immoral woman. And there's a good proverb for this, Proverbs 27:12. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Now, those are three of the unwise women in Proverbs. Let's look a little at the wise woman. What kind of heart does she have? Look at Proverbs 11:16. A kind-hearted woman gains respect. Okay, so her heart is kind-hearted and it's respectful. Look at 14:1 again. The wise woman builds her house. Now, that word builds means to establish or cause to continue. And her house refers to her household, her family. So her heart is others-focused, and she sees the long-term consequences. And then turn to chapter 31, the famous Proverbs woman, beginning in verse 10. I believe that this entire description at the end of chapter 31 is a practical application of Proverbs 14:1. It's an alphabet poem, which means that each verse in the poem began with a consecutive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It would be like verse 1 starts with A, 2 starts with B, 3 starts with C, if we were doing an alphabet poem in our alphabet. And it is using examples from a middle-class woman's daily life in 700 BC to demonstrate what the qualities and values identified with wisdom throughout the entire book of Proverbs would look like in everyday life. All the aspects of wisdom that we'll be learning can be applied in the same way to our daily experience at home, at work, wherever it is that you live. The poem assumes an educated woman. That is, she had the skills needed for her life in her world. What would the principles of being a wise woman look like in your everyday life? Driving carpool, clothing and feeding your family, loving your husband, using your resources. Your poem and mine would read differently from this one. I think the key is in verse 30, very end, where it says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. To fear the Lord is to love him and seek to learn from him. And it goes all the way back to the very beginning of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 1:7, which says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. It starts there in any time period, in any culture, in any life. So what do we do with this? And I'd like to make a few suggestions. It's on the back of your handout. First of all, determine for yourself what kind of heart you want to have. Now, God's desire for you is that you have a wise heart. And that begins with a faith relationship with him, then having an attitude of seeking to learn from him. Not only does he want us to learn how to make wise choices, though, he wants to help us to do it because he loves us. And knowing what's wise and choosing to do it are two different things. So my next suggestion is plan how you will approach learning this craft of living wisely. Just as it takes practice and skill to learn any craft, it takes practice to become a craftsman at living God's way. And you can be overwhelmed by too much to work on at one time. I know I can be. So I suggest that you, and I'm going to do this as well, choose one thing to work on for a period of time. After all, why make your family wait if you need it now? Memorize a proverb that applies. Write it on an index card or however you want to write it. Put it with lipstick on your mirror, whatever helps for you to remember that. Let your group know what it is that you want to work on so they can pray for you and help you to be accountable. And then anticipate what will be your biggest hindrance. I mean, we all know personally where we struggle and why. So you can ask God to enable you to overcome that hindrance this year. And you're not alone. You have a God that loves you and has already given you the resources you need to become a wise woman. The Holy Spirit living inside of us as Christians gives us access to the wisdom from God moment by moment. There's never a time when we don't have that access. So we can all approach God humbly and ask Him for what we need to fulfill our purpose as a woman, wife, mother, grandmother, whatever. Remember that God expects faithfulness from us, but not perfection. And then sit back and enjoy the results. Have you ever heard caterpillars munching? I had that privilege this summer. Early this summer, I was watering my front yard, and I heard this loud munch, munch, munch sound. I looked above me, and there was a whole branch on a tree filled with caterpillars, and they were munching. Now, if you have one caterpillar munching, you're not going to hear it. But 100 caterpillars on a tree? It was a loud sound. It was definitely noticeable. I went inside and told my family about it. Of course, they thought I was absolutely nuts, but they did come out and look, and my daughter Will verified that we heard caterpillars munching. Okay, if one of us chooses to have a wise heart this year, and it makes a difference in our life, it will be noticed by our family, our friends. What if the 200 women all decided to behave wisely this year? It will be noticed. It will make a difference, just like all those caterpillars munching together. God's desire is for educated women like you and me to have wise hearts. And He says this to us in Proverbs 23:15. My daughter, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad. I hope that that is the desire of your heart. So let's pray. Our precious, holy God, Father of all and Father of us, we pray for humility to learn from you and to develop wise hearts. We thank you in advance for what you will teach us and for your enabling power that can help us live lives pleasing to you. We are your daughters, and for that, my Father, I thank you. Amen.